morning, church. Hey, Julie. Can we mute those? That must be like a dog whistle. Maybe I'm the only one that can hear them. My
hearing.
This will be fun.
He can do it.
I can do it. Thanks, Barb. Hey, so today the message is going to be, I wanted to do a message on faith, and I wanted to tie it up in this nice little package, you know, talk about somebody during Jesus' time. So I started studying, and God said, no, you don't get off that easy. So here's what he left me with is this: 7 things to make your faith grow. First off, let's define faith. Two definitions I'm going to use: complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Second one is a strong belief in God or the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So what's that saying? Guys, we have faith because we believe all that stuff that's in here happened. Okay? There are people that have zero faith and you don't see them here in church, because they cannot grasp the fact that God sent his son to come down and live the life free of sin and change the world and then died on a cross and rose again. So, Hebrews, we're going to be all over. When this message came together, I got like one verse from every passage. And that's kind of purposeful, because I think if I give you 10 different passages and they each have 10 verses, there's no way you're ever going to go. So I'm going to give you a bunch of verses that talk about faith, but they're one verse long or they're 2 verses long. Maybe we can put those in here and keep them and say, hey, you know, we talked about Hebrews 1:11. I can't really remember what it says because Matt's a moron. But Hebrews 1:11, I'm going to look it up. Okay? And that's what it's all about. So Hebrews 11:1 gives us perhaps the best definition of faith. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the best synopsis I have of that, and I've used it before, you know, Christmas movies are on, it's Christmas in July. I've watched a couple. Shame me if you want. It's what I do. I like the Hallmark Channel, okay? But Hebrews 11:1, I can equate that to the movie The Santa Claus with Tim Allen, when Charlie, the little boy, says, believing is not seeing. No, I don't know how he says it, but basically he's saying the definition of faith here: you believe what you can't see. We don't always see God's plan for us, but we do believe he has one. And just one more thing about Jen's devotion and sacrifice. As a father of 3 dads, I get to sacrifice three young men eventually. Okay? I got one coming in August. Last Sunday we kind of announced, but we found out for sure that we're going to sacrifice the second young man. Shelby is now engaged, and she'll be married, I don't know, could be next week, could be 3 years, I don't know. But we'll let you know. Anyway, Colossians 2:7. And I'm going to flip just like you are, but I got notes. I don't even need this. I got it written down. It's in the New Living Translation. It says, "Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Now, why is that verse important to me? Because you've got to grow deeper in Christ. Okay? As we get older, if we're not growing deeper in the Word and growing deeper in Christ, we're just getting old. You know, we're just getting 52, 53, 58, 70, whatever. But if we're not growing our faith, that's a problem. And it starts early. It starts early. That's why it's important to be in church. So your faith will grow strong. Will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Okay? That tells me that God knows it's important for us to be with other Christians and be taught. Okay, I can read this and be self-taught. Man. I don't use all my resources and let you all and be taught. If I wouldn't have been taught when I was a teenager or when I was a kid, I wouldn't be here today. Okay? Growing your faith is a process. Number one, you have to feed your faith through the Word. Let's go to Psalm 34. It's 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, 8. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." So what's that mean? Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. God is good. Psalm 119, verse 103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Guys, that's one. This is a really long, I mean, we're at verse 103, and it goes until 176. And it's all just David rejoicing and David talking to God on the daily and saying, "Man, how sweet are your words to my taste." But in order for them to be sweet, we have to do what? We have to put them in here. We have to get into this. By feeding on the Word, you never have to wonder or worry about what to do next. The Word of God is alive. It is like the food that feeds our soul. So do you go a day without eating? No. If we go a day without feeding our soul, we're in danger. We're in danger. Our faith is not growing. John 14:26. I told you we're going to skip.
all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you ever have that little voice on your shoulder that says, Matt, remember what happened Sunday in church? Or Matt, remember what Les said Sunday in church? Or remember that conversation you had 2 weeks ago with somebody about God? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And we have to let it work. Reading the Word allows the Holy Spirit to bring us exactly what we need to apply to our daily situations. So number one was feed your faith through the Word. Number two, exercise your faith by your actions. What we do in life will be a reflection on what we have learned. You ever wonder why? Because we all know that good deeds aren't going to get us into heaven, right? So why is it important for us to get out and have action? Because then we're showing the world what we've learned as Christians. You know, God can go move mountains. He don't need us to go do anything. But it's important that our community sees what we're doing, how we're growing, what we've learned, how our faith is progressing, whether it's in good times or bad times. We need to show our faith. John 8:30. And this is Jesus speaking. And I'm going to start in 29. Because without 29, verse 30 is, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, there's a lot of things at work right there in that little verse. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. That's faith. That's faith. I like to think if I was around in Jesus' time and I would have been there when he first started his ministry, I'd have been one of his followers, following him around everywhere, hanging on every word he said. I don't know that for sure. But that's faith. When the disciples just threw down their nets and followed him, that's faith. Do we have something in our life that God's asking us to do to take a leap of faith right now, today? I don't know. You know what happens when we follow God's lead and jump through faith? Man, it's usually pretty well received because God blesses it. Our greatest desire should be for our deeds to reflect His instruction. Let's go to Psalm 119. Read 1 through 5. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. So again, and that's probably sung as a praise. That's probably not read. That's probably not said. That's probably sung. Listen, David was a singer. I'm not. Okay? But, oh, my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Again, no matter what God tells us to do, we do it. That's faith. Number three, speak to your faith, make it grow. And this is I have a little story about a preacher who was preaching one Sunday morning, and I don't want to butcher it. I think I remember it, but I'll pull it up. The preacher said, "This church is like a crippled man who needs to get..." Well, I'm reminded of a story I heard once about a preacher who had a congregation that would talk back to him during his sermon as they got excited about their future. One Sunday morning, the preacher said, "This church is like a crippled man who needs to get up and walk under the power of Jesus." The congregation replied with enthusiasm, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Then the preacher said, "This church, like Elijah on Mount Carmel, has got to run." The congregation replied, "Let it run, preacher, let it run." Then the preacher said, "This church has got to mount up on wings like eagles and fly." The congregation replied with enthusiasm, "Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." Then the preacher added, "Now, if this church is going to fly, it's going to take money." The congregation then replied back with lack of enthusiasm, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Sometimes we don't let our faith stretch because it's something uncomfortable for us that God wants us to do. Listen, I'm not very good about letting my faith stretch because I get so wrapped up in what I'm doing that, man, I don't let God work all the time. And I've went through every stage, and but when all the stuff happened with the church, and I felt God tugging at me that, you know, Matt, you're going to have to preach a little bit. Listen, and Les is the same way. We've talked about it. This is not our trained profession. This is us trusting God and living on faith that He's going to deliver what you need to hear and what we need to hear. Because these sermons are not for you. I guarantee I get more out of the message than any of you will. Okay? Because I've learned to work through things and learn to dig and learn to figure some stuff out that God leads me to. You know what the most important thing I did was say, "Okay, God, use me if you need to. Use me if you need to." Because this is not always comfortable. Number four, you got to free your faith, ... from negativity. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Because God's going to ask you to do things that you may not be real sure about. Ever heard of a guy named Noah? He asked him to build an ark in the middle of a drought. How about a guy named Moses, who stuttered, stammered? He wanted him to go talk to the highest ranking official and tell him to free slaves that had been enslaved for 400 years.
What's God asking you to do? Go share your faith with somebody down the road? I mean, is he asking somebody else to build an ark? Because that'd be pretty cool. I'd come watch. Okay? Guys, we need to have the faith of a mustard seed. And I didn't bring one with me. They're not very big. But with the faith of a mustard seed, he says we could move mountains with God. That's pretty cool. Let's go to James. Chapter 1. In verse 6, and what I want you to take from this is this. It takes faith to pray. It takes faith to ask for things. It takes faith to follow through on things. Right here. Trials and temptations is the total. You know what? We're going to read verse 2 through 6. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But this is the verse, James 1:6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Guys, when you ask it, ask boldly. When you ask it, you better believe that it's going to happen. Otherwise, it just works. If you don't have the faith in your God to make it happen, what are you asking for? You know, Morgan can ask me for $20 for gas, but if she doesn't have faith that I have $20, what good did it do her to ask me? Right? So if I'm asking God to deliver Morrow County from all this crap, I better believe that he can do it, or why would I even ask it? Have faith, be bold. How do you get rid of doubt? Because that's going to come up. Doubt comes up, right? All right? There's times every day that, man, doubt will creep up. Doubt will creep up. Or I had a kind of a bad week last week at work. Well, not bad, but just where it made me second guess everything I did. So every order I wrote, I started to doubt. Is that enough? Do I need that? Do I not need that? Because that holiday falling on Tuesday really played with my order system. Because I'm used to it falling on Sunday or Monday, but I had to run my route totally different the previous week, and I skipped stops because they said, hey, you got to skip some stops to make it easier on our drivers. Well, turns out I skipped the wrong stops because those are the stops that sold all the product. So it was a rough week. I was chasing my tail on Friday, day before vacation was supposed to be. Chris said, I'm depressed. Friday night, she said, I'm depressed. I said, why is that? She said, you didn't come home or call me and say this is the best stop of my year. Or you didn't say this is the best day of the year. Because normally, Friday before, I'll call her and say, hey, Friday before vacation, I'm going to my favorite stop today. She said, what's that? I said, my last one. Because I'm off for a week. But I didn't call her. And she said, I figured you'd call. Listen, my doubt had crept in and I was struggling. By Friday, I was just ready to be done. But how do you get rid of doubt? James 4. Verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Listen, that sums it up beautifully. What's it say? Resist, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is it really that simple? It's kind of like asking without having faith that I could fulfill a promise. It says it right here. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Guys, that's pretty cool. That's really cool, as a matter of fact. But we got to have faith that our God can do it. And then one other way to get rid of doubt. John 10. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Guys, if you ever doubt, man, go to that passage. I've told you before about sheep and shepherds and whatnot. But understand, at the end of the day, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, there's going to be one flock. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be because of that shepherd that willingly laid on that cross and died and bled and was beaten and whatever. But you know, that's not why we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven because then 3 days later, he rose from the dead and beat death so that we have the promise, if we have faith, of eternal life with him. Have faith. How do you get rid of doubt? And I have this written in all caps. Read your Bible, believe what it says. Number 5, believe the impossible is possible. Do not let fear of the unknown or untried things prevent you from what you believe to be possible. Has anybody ever said, I can't do that, about something you've never, ever tried to do? Yes. Right? I contend I can't ride a bull. I've never tried it. Probably am never going to try it. Okay? Because I took a ride. Was that yesterday? When was that? Thursday night. We decided we were going to shear some sheep. And in my infinite wisdom, I had faith that I have this 300-pound ram that Shelby and I and my 12-year-old nephew could get this dude up on the stand to shear him. Okay? Well, so we get him haltered because he sticks his head through the gate and says, yeah, you can scratch me, whatever. Just nice guy. We walk him over because he's halter broke. We get him up to the stand. I say, okay, he's too heavy. We can't lift him Because normally Shelby and I will lift under his front shoulders, put his front feet up, then go back to his back. We're not going to be able to do that with this dude, so we do one leg at a time. We get his front two legs up. I got a hold of his head. And he decides he's going to walk up on the stand, which is cool. Here's the other thing. I'm a lazy shepherd because I don't fight those sheep and shear the old Australian method. I put them on a shear stand and shear them so they're standing up and I don't have to bend over. But I'm walking him up the stand, and 300 pounds later, he decides he's going to jump because he doesn't want to be on the stand. My grandfather told me when I first started taking sheep to the fair, rule number one I have is don't you ever let go. I've lived by that rule. I've got marks to prove it. He jumped. I went with him. I come down, landed on my gravel floor in the barn. Thankfully, the pick was right here. The water hydrant was right here. There's a shovel over here. I landed in the only spot I could without impaling myself. Amazing, right? So, where was I going with that? Huh? Yeah, so that's why I know I can't ride a bull. Because that sheep took me for a ride, and I couldn't walk the next day. Chris and I had been walking every night, and I got out of the driveway. We were going for a walk, and pretty soon I'm doing this, and I'm like, oh, I said, this is not good. I can't walk tonight. She said, are you hurt? I said, yeah, my hip is killing me. And so I went back in the house and played with the puppy and thought it was cool, but... Yeah, so I can't ride a bull. I'm not going to try to ride a bull. I have faith that eventually I probably could with some training, but I'm still not going to do it because I'm too fat and too old. But don't let the fear of not trying something tell you it can't be done. Okay? Just because I don't want to ride a bull, I've seen plenty of guys ride a bull and do pretty well at it. I know it can be done. Let's go to Luke 1. Luke 1. And this is a really simple verse. 37. It says, "For no word from my God will ever fail. No word from my God will ever fail." Okay? And that's really all we need to say about that. Have faith. Have faith in your God. He's done so many things for us we don't even know. Number six. Number five was believe that the impossible is possible. Number six, we have to share it with others. Share it with others. And do we share our faith? You've heard me say it before, I'm terrible about sharing my faith. Sometimes I don't let myself be put in that situation to share my faith. I keep my encounters brief so that I don't have to share my faith. And that's wrong. Because what happens? What do we like to talk about? Man, if we have a favorite athlete, we'll talk about him all day. If we have a favorite team, we'll talk about him, that team all day. If we have a favorite actor, we'll talk about the movies they played in all day. If we have, our kids... Our kids are easy to talk about. We'll talk about them all day. Our pets. Guys, we have something way better. Way better. We have a God that's powerful enough to know that we're sinful people and he sent his son to die on a cross to cover our sin. Can we talk about him a little bit? Can we talk about him a little bit? I got to do better. I got to do better. Let's go 1 Chronicles 16. And we're going to read 8 and 9. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all of his wonderful acts. So we go back to faith. We have faith that what this says is correct, right? Yes. It's pretty plain. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among nations what he has done. That isn't saying, Matt, no, don't go talk to anybody. You say, Matt, get your behind out there and start talking to people about me. It's not because I'm ashamed. It's because I'm nervous. I don't like to be shot down. It doesn't matter to God. If I go out there and try to start a conversation with 10 accounts a day, and I have 9 of them shut me down, you know what God's doing? He's jumping up and down because one of those people, one of the 10 a day, said, you know, Matt, let's talk about your guy. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all of his wonderful acts. It doesn't say just tell your church friends or just tell the people you work with. It says tell all. That convicts me a lot because I don't tell all. I got to tell all. Okay, I've told you before, these messages are for me. The question we all need to answer is how much time do we really spend bragging about our God? Yeah, we'll brag about our job. We'll brag about our car. We'll brag about our kids. But do we brag about our God? He's the one who wakes us every day. He's the one that clothes us. He's the one that gives us everything. And the scriptures are very clear that we must tell the world. So share your faith with everybody that'll listen and even the ones that won't. Most of us are parents here, right? Everybody has one of our kids or all of our kids that we thought never listened. But we still talked to them, didn't we? You know what Chris and I found is, and I'll use Lindsay for an example. Lindsay was a pain in the behind at home. She was. I spanked her a couple times till my hand hurt. But she just turned and looked at me and smiled. Okay? I quit spanking her because I couldn't do it. But you know, I'd go to parent-teacher conferences because Chris taught the school. And the teachers were like, man, Lindsay is just the perfect student. She participates in class. She's always polite to others. She always blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait. Your kids listen even when you think they don't. They may act like little turds at home. But when they're out and there need to be an example, they do the right thing because of your training. Don't lose faith that you're making a difference with your kids. Psalm 34:3. We could use the whole psalm here. But 34:3, again, we have to share our faith. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's pretty cool. The next time you have questions about sharing your faith, what happens if you share your faith and the other person's a Christian also? And then it's a big Christian love fest. That's a great feeling. That's a great feeling. Then you can exalt His name together. Don't be afraid to share your faith. In fact, I implore you to do it, and I implore me to do it. Number seven, final thing to grow your faith. Discuss your faith frequently with your manufacturer. Who manufactures us? God. You better be talking to Him all the time about your faith. Because what happens with the refrigerator if it starts going bad? We call GE, we call Sam's Club, or wherever we bought the dumb thing from, and we say, listen, I got a problem. It's no different with us. You got to discuss your faith with God. He already knows what you're going through. So let's just let Him have it. Last verse we're going to use for the day, maybe, is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation in Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. At the end of the day, right there is why we need to share, we need to work on our faith. Because we've been taught by people we trust. We've been taught by a God we love to serve. So go out and do it. Because you are equipped for every good work you're ever going to do. I'm going to leave you with these couple quotes I found. A couple of these are pretty neat. Number one, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am moved by what I believe. That's pretty cool. Faith is believing that God is going to take you places before you even get there. Listen, every time Chris and I go for a drive, she has to have faith that God's going to get us there. I could tell you stories about some of our trips we took. It's always not good. Not always, doesn't always end well. And lastly, your belief determines your action, and your action determines your results. But first, you have to believe. It's a circle that all starts with faith and belief. And if you're here today and you want to know more about that faith and more about the faith that I know I have but I don't always share, come forward today. I'll share it with you. Les will be here. I'll be here. The praise team's going to be here and sing a song of invitation. If you have prayer needs, come forward. If you want to share your faith, I'll give you a microphone that doesn't work. Okay? We love to pray for this church. We love to pray for all the people in this church. We have faith that God's moving in the right direction. And we're going to stay the course with what God is pulling at us. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. You are our everything, Lord. And Lord, we just lift each person here up, Lord, that you will put them in a position this week to go out and show your faith and to share their faith in you. Lord, there's nothing more powerful than getting a couple Christians together that didn't know they were Christians. There's only one way we're going to know that, and that's if we go out and share our faith. Just have us show your love and your mercy and your grace every day in our lives, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.